Welcome back on this Tuesday, guys. It is the Frisco Report. I'm the co-host, Dallas Cowboy Football News, also known as Mike. You know I can't do this by myself. I got Cowboys blog, Joe. Joe, how was your Taco Tuesday?
Taco Tuesday is great. You know, you can never go wrong with tacos unless it's Taco Charlton. But
that's right. That's exactly it.
Everything else is fine. And Danny, bro, let's get into these topics. What you got on deck today?
On the deck, I got Dallas Cowboys, the first NFL team to open up facilities. You know, with the COVID-19 stuff, the NFL N95 respirator face mask. Two-year players that need to step up, right? Right now, you can't really grade players of 3 years, but who can really make an impact in their second year? And then we're going to talk about Leighton Vander Esch. He said he's ready to go, but I want to get your take on that. But we'll start with, Joe, the Jerry Jones opened up the facility. You know, the NFL put out a memo talking about the NFL facilities can open depending on how their state is modifying restrictions. And in Texas, there's a lot of restrictions that got lifted. And Jerry Jones said, my billion-dollar corporate office for the Dallas Cowboys is open, Joe. What was your what's your take on that? Does this benefit the Cowboys? 5 preseason games, 17-week season, potential playoffs. Does this get the Cowboys ready? Get these rookies in here? I mean, how does this really impact the Dallas Cowboys?
I think a big part of this is a you know, some of this is a mental thing, you know, trying to get back to normalcy, you know, and talking about opening up the facility, the Star, Frisco, you know, it's, you know, I know you've been there, Mike, you've did the tour and everything. You know, they put a lot of money into it. It's a state-of-the-art facilities. So, you know, they want to get things going, man, try to return everything back to normalcy. And what better way to do it than the Cowboys leading the way? In Texas, you know, as you may know, Texas, they've like a lot of states, they're reopening businesses and this sort of thing. So Cowboys, they got the green light from the state. You know, obviously a lot of this is dependent on the states. You know, this was mentioned by the commissioner and the NFLPA. It's kind of dependent on each state. And for Texas, they got the green light.
They got the green light, Joe. And I'm not surprised. This is what Jerry Jones does. Jerry Jones is all about money. You know, Jerry Jones brought in a new coach. They just had a draft. They brought free agents in, Gerald McCoy, Dontarian Poe, who they hadn't even seen in person yet. They had to use third-party doctors to get their physicals cleared to even sign their contracts. So hopefully they can get these players and get hands-on with these guys. And, you know, Jerry Jones isn't missing a beat. He's seen an opportunity, and he took it, Joe. And that's winning mentality. You know, Jerry Jones gets a lot of criticism with decisions, but this one, opening, being the first team, it's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And, you know, there's pictures of him entering the facility with, you know, one of the masks. So he's practicing, you know, what they're talking about. You know, this is a very serious thing still. I know a lot of people, I mean, from what you see, it seems like people are out and about as if it's totally gone. But, you know, Jerry, he's up there in age. We know the stats are what they are with older people. So, Jerry, to be out here up in front, you know, leading the way, I think it sets a good tone for the organization. You know, it's a nice thing to see, man. You know, let's hope everybody can stay safe. And they have a plan in place to keep the players, coaches, and staff, and everybody like that, you know, safe from COVID.
What they need to do is rent out the Omni Hotel, Joe. Fill it in with Dallas 90 Dallas Cowboy players. Do the Oxnard Hotel early, right? But let's move along and talk about these N95 respirators. I know you talked about this a couple of shows back. I mean, when all this, in the middle of this pandemic, that's still going on. You talked about NFL partnering with a business that can make specialized masks. So give the Frisco Report followers some insight on what this N95 respirator face mask entails and how can it benefit players?
Yeah, so, you know, I reached out to the helmet maker of the NFL. They have a couple, but the one that they had in place, I didn't hear back from them, but you know, it's not a big surprise, but you know, they had mentioned this. I had received information from the owner's previous meeting that this was kind of discussed at a low key level, knowing that this might be something that they have to do. So I'm wondering, is this going to be something integrated into the face mask? Where they're talking about working with Oakley now. Okay, so we know Oakley makes the visors for a lot of you know, sports people. You know, whether it's you know, snowboarding, the Winter Games, or you know, NASCAR. You know, that they make a lot of these visors. NFL also. So, are they gonna integrate that into the face mask? Are we going to see like a Darth Vader type of look where you got the visor to protect your eyes? Because we know you can get infection from the eyes, right? And you can obviously get it through breathing in, you know, the particles. So it'll be interesting to see what the helmet's going to look like. Are the players going to be enclosed, you know, kind of like a full-blown NASA kind of helmet? So I'm interested to see what it's going to look like, Mike. Do you have any concerns as far as adding this to the helmet or the face mask?
Yeah, there is some problems, you know, because there are some NFL players that have asthma and, you know, PTSD, stuff like that, you know, if they're abused as kids or whatever. There's a lot of health and mental issues that go into face mask. I with my job, and what I do, I have to wear a face mask, and I can't hardly. You become mouth breathers, you know, with the mask on, and that's difficult for me.
Yeah.
Just, you know, trying to be that mouth breather, but I hope, you know, they can get, you know, that training camp with it on and really get used to it. Maybe they can tweak it and revolutionize it some type of way for, you know, that a clear airway, because these guys are running fast, they're running hard, you know, a lot of cardio that go into that. So I hope they can really modify this mask where it benefits their lungs. We don't want players passing out.
Yeah, and it is just the early discussions from what they're saying, but I believe that they've been talking about this for a while now. I think it's just more a part of like you said, Mike, is this going to be a viable issue for players across the board? You know, how will players' performance if they have some kind of mask? You know, like, I mean, we're talking about taking deep breaths here, right? Like, it's going to have to be very durable, and it's going to have to perform under pressure. You know, the helmets get jostled around, hitting the ground, and that kind of thing. So they're going to have to do some quick R&D on this really quick, because, you know, by the time you know it, I mean, we're already in May, halfway through May. We're about to hit June, July, training camps at the end of July, preseason. So this year is flying by for me. I think a part of it is this whole thing. But, yeah, man, I think the turnaround time has to be pretty quick on this. So we'll see what they do there. But it's good to see the NFL being proactive, protecting our players, because, man, of all the sports that are coming back, I got to say, I'm really looking forward to the NFL. I want them to get this right. I want the season to be played in completion, you know, so we can see every game and enjoy our season as fans, even if we're watching from home. I love it, man. It's a great sport, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And one thing that benefits the NFL is they have a greedy commissioner, all right? And he missed a lot of paychecks, you know, with this COVID stuff. So he wants to get his paychecks back, and the only way to do that is put players on the field so they can get their paycheck too. So, I mean, that's good that we got a greedy owner or a greedy commissioner. But let's change gears here. Let's talk about some players. Enough with the COVID stuff. We already hear it enough every day. So let's go ahead and get into second-year players, Joe. Impacts that need to step up, Joe. What you got for me?
Well, before we get going, let's give people a refresher, you know, because we just finished the NFL draft and a lot of us are still breaking down our draft picks from that draft. So let's do a little rewind here and look at the 2019 draft class. Who did we draft, okay? In the second round, we took Tristan Hill. The third round, we took the guard Connor McGovern. Fourth round, we took Tony Pollard. Fifth round, we took Michael Jackson, the cornerback out of Miami. He's no longer with the Cowboys. And in the fifth round, again, we took Joe Jackson, the defensive end, out of Miami. He's still with the team. The sixth round, we took safety Donovan Wilson. The seventh round, we took running back Mike Weber. And then the final seventh round pick, Jalen Jugs, the defensive end out of Oregon, Mike. So, a lot of players here, you know, and some of them are no longer with the team. A couple of them got dinged up, injured, went to IR. Some of them are on the practice squad. What's your initial take here? I guess the biggest elephant in the room here. Let's just get to it, Mike. Tristan Hill, the second round pick. All right. What is your expectation there?
With the veteran experience we got, getting Neville Gallimore out of Oklahoma, this guy is really going to have to step up, and he has to fight and claw his way on this roster. I mean, it's healthy competition. Yeah. And, he wasn't just given the reins, like he was under the last era. They see a big gap there. They seen his progress, which wasn't much. That's why they were aggressive, in our D-line in the draft and in free agency, Joe. This guy, I'll be surprised if he makes the 55-man roster.
Yeah, that's that's a real thing. This is a new regime, new coaches. And for a second round pick, you expect some kind of contribution, right? Some production of some sort. And he couldn't even get on to the 46 man. It was a healthy scratch. Most of the season couldn't beat out some of the other players that they brought in that for me were just bargain bin players like Chris Covington. Couldn't beat out any of the other guys on there. So not good, man, not good. So my expectation is I have low expectations. I'm kind of thinking this guy is either going to fight for his spot or he's going to do flight. It's fight or flight, okay? So you hear about that. What's this guy going to do? Is he going to fight for his position, for his job on the team, for the Dallas Cowboys? Or is he going to be one of these flight players where he's just like, I throw my hands up. I'm done. I'll do something else. I'll go somewhere else. Is he that player? If he's that player, pack your bags. We don't need that here. We definitely exactly. Don't need that. So, yeah, man. I'm pulling for him, though. He's a second-round pick. It would be such a tragic thing if we already had to, move on from that. So, I am pulling for him. But, like I said, my expectations are low on the player. Okay. Connor McGovern, Mike.
Yeah, McGovern has a perfect opportunity to come in here and prove himself. He had some pec injuries, ripped it right off his damn chest. And he has an opportunity to come in here. Connor Williams, I wouldn't say he's the automatic guard, Yeah, that they drafted Tyler Biadasz from Wisconsin, but, that's a fourth-round pick. McGovern, third-round pick last year. He has an opportunity to really step up and make a name, whether it's guard or at center. With keeping Joe Looney, with the addition of Tyler Biadasz, I really think there's some competition there. Can he get swallowed up, Joe? That could really hurt McGovern. When I mean swallowed up, is the injury bug? Is he injury prone? Will this haunt him for his NFL career? He has an opportunity. There's Joe Looney, a seasoned vet. There's Tyler Biadasz, who they traded up for. So obviously Cowboys really think highly of him. So does he get swallowed up or does he stick out like a sore thumb?
Yeah. Connor McGovern is, he's really got to show these coaches, because it's the same deal as Tristan Hill. He's got to show this staff that, that he can be something for them, or do they need to move on? And Is he going to be an option for Tyron Smith if he, you know, moves on after this season or whatever? You know, is he a potential future left tackle for this team? Or is he just going to be relegated down to a swing guard, swing tackle? So, you know, you would hate to use a second-round pick like that and just have him just be a backup. But, you know, it's this team is adding more and more talent. And I think at some point we will see some early round picks that will be in more of a backup type of role. But I don't think this team is there yet. But I feel good about Connor McGovern making that push. I know some people want him to battle out Biadasz there at center. But I think they move into the fourth round to grab Biadasz for a reason, you know. And I've mentioned this before. Coach McCarthy specifically went out to a Wisconsin game to check out these O linemen, liked what he saw in Biadasz, and you know, I don't see that. You know, it's possible that he may not start the season. You know, they may go with the experience there early with Looney, but ultimately, you know, Biadasz is a 100% center. Okay, you're talking about Connor McGovern. He has the position flex under the Jason Garrett era. And I've talked about this. The position flex terminology is something that was, you know, put onto the fans by the Garrett era. We want this guy to be a defensive tackle / defensive end. You don't have a speciality, okay? You just have somebody that can move between. Connor McGovern, you know, make him a guard, stick him at a guard. You know what I mean? And I think that's what you're going to see here with this new staff. You're not going to see position flex. You're going to see we drafted the three tech, Gallimore. He's going to be our three tech. Can he play the one? Yeah. Yeah, he can. But I think they're going to, you know, they're going to put him in there to get after it. Okay. And I think that's going to be the big difference here. I don't think position flex will be as big as it was under Garrett. Okay. So McGovern, I want him to beat out Connor Williams, like you said. He's getting close to getting the injury-prone tag, like you said, Mike, and that's a real thing. You know, he's had two injuries. The knee, it doesn't hold up too well with power and speed there at the guard position. He is athletic. I like him coming out, you know, and doing pulls and that kind of thing. I think he does those really, really well. But, you know, I want to see McGovern win that spot, man.
It'd be nice to see.
For sure, for sure. Now, the ultimate weapon of this draft class is probably your fourth round pick, Tony Pollard, Mike, the running back out of Memphis. Let me get your take on him. What's your thoughts on what he did for us last year, and how does he fit into the Cowboys 2020 season?
I mean, he fits perfect in a Mike McCarthy offense. If you look at what Mike McCarthy did with Ty Montgomery and how explosive he was in the slot, in the backfield, lining up all positions on Mike McCarthy's offense. Tony Pollard, I really think he's better than Ty Montgomery. And, I mean, Mike McCarthy's looking at TP and he's drooling just on film. Wait until you see the explosiveness, the quick cuts in and out of field, the breaks that Tony Pollard gives you. He's really going to be drilling and really coming up with stuff with Kellen Moore on how to utilize this guy and not just stash him on a bench, because Tony Pollard can really take the top off this offense. He's hard to tackle. He's explosive. He cuts on a dime. You might see a lot more TP in that slot. You know, if the Cowboys go five wide, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Gallup, Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Tony Pollard, and, you know, Blake Jarwin. I really think that's your five wide lineup.
Yeah, I think he's gonna benefit the most here from McCarthy. You know, it's he's one of those players that can have that breakaway home run presence on the field. Cowboys, they need that. We haven't seen Ezekiel Elliott break a long run in a very long time, so that's a little bit of a concern, but I think he still has it in him. But for Pollard, he definitely has it. You know, he breaks away. he hits the second level there, the linebackers, and then he gets to the save. It's over, you know. So it'll, and a big part of it will be this offensive line opening up some holes and that kind of thing. But putting him in space, I think he's a mismatch nightmare. So yeah, there's no way I can see Mike McCarthy not utilize this weapon. I think he's chomping at the bit to see what he can do. You know, put him back here, put him back in the backfield with Zeke. You know, keep these defenses off balance. You know, we thought we would see that. You know, we kind of thought that maybe Kellen Moore and Jason Garrett were going to be on the hot seat. Like, okay, we gotta be real aggressive here. And we didn't really see it. You know, we talked about it. We talked about Pollard and Zeke being in the backfield at the same time. It rarely happened, right? And then we would see Tavon Austin take those plays that I strongly believe Tony Pollard would have executed a lot better. Tavon Austin was just a detriment to this team, in my opinion.
No, I think you're spot on. I think you're spot on. I really can't wait to see, you know, that Ty Montgomery, Tony Pollard rolling in Mike McCarthy's O.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so Joe Jackson, the defensive end, he's still on the team, so he a little bit of an enigma. You know, he showed some plays in the preseason and showed some flashes in spot duty, but then towards the end of the season they kind of shelved him and we didn't really see much of him anymore. So what is Joe Jackson's role going to be on this? Is he going to have to battle his heart out to make this team? What's your feeling on Joe Jackson here, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. Joe Jackson, when I went to Oxnard last summer, Joe Jackson was probably and could maybe like one or two guys away from being the biggest guy on the football team. I mean, Joe Jackson is huge. I mean, the arms, he almost has a DeMarcus Ware body, just to the length and the size and everything. I mean, it was incredible to see, you know, the so much talent this guy can offer. And you're right, you know, Jason Garrett, they play their favorites. And, you know, Joe Jackson might have not been, quote unquote, one of their favorites. You know, Rod Marinelli's picky. You know, if you don't buy into Rod Marinelli's scheme, you're not going to get a lot of playing time. So, with that being said, I mean, if you unleash Joe Jackson and you give him an assignment D lineman, what I mean by that, it ain't just go get the quarterback. You have an assignment. This is what you're doing here on this play. You're filling in this gap to try to stop the run. This gap. That's how he played at Kansas. And if Mike Nolan knows how to bring that here and not just a free will defensive line that beats you on screens and stuff, Joe Jackson really has an opportunity here to play assignment key defense. And I think that's really going to benefit him. I think he has a good window here.
Very good. Very good, Mike. That's very good. I'm glad you got to see him in action there on the field. And Oxnard, that's a great take. Comes from the U. Cowboys didn't draft from the U since pretty much, you know, Jimmy Johnson left. It was good to see them go back there and take a look at some of these players. So, Joe Jackson, defensive end. One of the better defensive ends coming out of Miami. They do have a really good player that has some potential here for the 2021 draft, Russo. So, I think Miami's going to be getting back here on the scene here with defenders here coming soon, but we have one here in Joe Jackson. Let's hope he can be something for us. I have him making my super duper early 55 man projection. I did have him making it. We'll see how he does here, Mike. Okay, so the next one here, Mike, the next second year player we want to talk about, Donovan Wilson, the safety. We grabbed him in the sixth round, had a fantastic preseason. It seemed like he was having an interception almost every preseason game that we saw him until he got injured, right? So what's your take here on Donovan Wilson, second-year player out of Texas A&M?
He has potential, I'll say that. When we've seen Donovan Wilson in real time, a couple of weeks late into the year, he almost looked like Jeff Heath in the beginning of his career. He looked a little lost back there, But like I said, that could be coaching. You know, there's a lot of criticism that Chris Richard's getting right now with the way he coached his defense.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. You know, what I've seen the last couple of weeks of the year, I'm ruling that out. And like you brought up all his preseason stats, I really think that's where we need to focus. How can he grow off that instead of just throwing him in there and he looking and Wilson looking lost? You know, let him work under I'm going to say it, a real coaching staff, and really see what Donovan Wilson can do, because obviously we've seen the potential. But is he going to be one of those players when the lights come actually on?
Yeah.
Is it time for him to step up, and does he step up?
Yeah. No, that's a great point. That's a great point, Mike. And he is getting his coach from A&M, so he will have, I wouldn't say an advantage, but the coach knows his limitations, what he can do. He can push the player to be a better player, a better version of himself. I love that move by McCarthy. And I think that Donovan Wilson really has the potential to be something here for the Cowboys, where hopefully they don't have to spend, you know, an early pick on a safety. We know fans have been wanting a safety since the dawn of time. And maybe we have one here in the making here. So we'll see, man. The last two here, Mike, and we'll just touch on them here real quick. Mike Weber, the running back, on the practice squad. You know, we did cut him. He made it through waivers. Cowboys added him to the practice squad. What's Mike Weber got to do to make this team? Does he have any chance? Is it slim? What's the deal here with Mike Weber, Mike?
Absolutely. I don't really see him making this team, and I hate to say it, you know, because I mean, this guy has a family to feed and stuff, but at the end of the day, he's just overshadowed by too many other players on the team. And so I think that it's I just don't really think I maybe practice squad again, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, sorry to say it, but I guess that's it.
Yeah, man. And then I feel the same actually too. You know, the running back stable is pretty full. You know, you got your thoroughbreds with Ezekiel Elliott and Pollard. Alawale is going to get some competition by Sheo from TCU. So that'll be good competition. But yeah, man, Weber, I could see him making the practice squad. And the new CBA has made it where the practice squad players, there's no term limitations now. So you could be a practice squad player for the rest of your career, pretty much. So obviously, I don't think the Cowboys would do that, especially with McCarthy. He's going to want to keep churning this roster. He might want to keep somebody else instead, but we'll see. Maybe Weber really just, you know, shines and looks like one of the better players at the end of the day. So we'll see how he does. Jalen Jelks, Mike, the defensive end out of Oregon. How does he fit into the scheme? Any chance of him making the team? What do you like about him?
Jalen Jelks, he had a few standouts. I want to say he recorded a sack in early preseason before he got injured. But again, you know, we're running a 4-3 with 3-4 principles. And I can see Jalen Jelks standing up and rushing the passer just with his length and his size. I can see him playing that type of role. But at the end of the day, Randy Gregory, Alden Smith, Bradley and I, maybe he can find himself on the practice squad. But other than that, I really don't see much of him, not with the competition we got behind him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be an uphill battle, I think, for Jokes as well. They like his measurables. Well, I mean, the last administration did anyway. And honestly, I like his measurables too. He's got the long arms. He's got the wingspan. He had a pretty decent career there with the Oregon Ducks. So, you know, Cowboys took a flyer on him there in the seventh round, you know, see if they can, you know, mold him into something. But this is a new staff, okay? So we'll see what he does. But, you know, if it's practice squad, it is what it is. But honestly, I hope he could push somebody, you know. But we'll see, man. We'll see about Jalen Jelks.
Yeah. So there's our thoughts on the second-year players, guys. Let us know in the comment section below, wherever you are, what's your thoughts on these guys. But we're changing gears here to our last topic. Leighton Vander Esch says, I'm healthy, Joe. I'm ready to go. And this is his second time saying this. We touched on it a few shows back. And I still stand where I stood back then. Talk is cheap. Show me action. Where are you at with it?
Honestly, I think seeing it from him, you know, I checked out the podcast there with Bobby Belt and Jane Slater. You know, they talked about it as well there. So you're kind of seeing him in person now instead of reading it. He looks good. You know, and yeah, it is. It is that at the end of the day, we got to see how he performs on a tackle. How is he going to handle that first tackle? Is he going to be apprehensive? Is he going to be protecting his neck and not putting, you know, his all that he can into it? Because the linebacker, you know, and you've mentioned this before too, it's like, you know, you're going head to head with a lot of these big backs. Sometimes if you're going to, you know, go in there and get into the scrum with these big offensive linemen, you know, you're going to get jacked. So you got to be ready for a car wreck almost every play, you know, it's the same kind of deal. So we'll see, man. I'm really hoping for the best because, you know, it's looking at his stats here, Mike, we'll just hit on it real quick. His rookie year, he had 140 combined tackles, right? 102 of those were solo. Like, that's incredible. Okay. You're talking about solo tackles, 102 your rookie season. We know what he was. One of the better polished tacklers coming out of college, and he showed it here in his rookie year. You know, you put him in open space, you felt confident that he would make that tackle, right? Last year, you saw some times where he didn't really look as good, and I think a part of that obviously was the injury. So that, I think that's our main concern, Mike, you know, is he going to protect his neck? Is he going to tackle differently? You know what I mean? So
I think he brought up a great point. I think he brought up a great point. And, you know, with LVE, there was already neck issues when the Cowboys drafted him. And, you know, he had that. I mean, you said the stats, 102 solos. It's just incredible. And then you look at year two, and he had a stinger the entire year and was doing one arm tackling.
Yeah.
And now he got this surgery. And I mean, surgery can do miracles, you know, really turn the body around. I mean, you look at Jalen Smith, he's a prime example of that. But with LVE, you know, how does his body, number one, respond to this surgery? Because the first hit will tell you. The first hit, he might look horrible in training camp. He might look horrible in preseason until he gets that real good hit. You know, back when I used to play ball, you know, at the high school level, I mean, I had jitters all the way up till I made the first hit, or if I got hit, you know, then I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. You know, all the jitters went away. So I'm curious to see what kind of hit LVE's looking for, whether he's receiving it or if he's giving it, to really get that confidence boost back. I mean, you look at how Jalen Smith handled that knee and that nerve. I mean, it took him a while to really get to himself, and he'll admit that. So I'm kind of curious to see how LVE responds to that, Joe.
Good point, man. Good point. Is this more of a two-year recovery, kind of like Jalen Smith, or is it just – or is he good to go, like he's saying? You know, hopefully it's not one of those two-year deals. Moose Johnson did say that he had a similar type of surgery, and it took him a very, very long time, and he had to be careful with contact. You know, when Daryl Johnson got his neck surgery, you know, he really didn't have any contact until, I don't know, I think the season began. So, and then he was never the same. He ultimately had to retire. So I'm interested to see about this, you know, because we really need Leighton Vander Esch to be a part of this team in that kind of thing. So we saw Jalen Smith's numbers went up incredibly as well. So last season, Jalen Smith had 142 combined tackles. That's a lot of tackles, right? A lot of people are complaining about he got the new contract, didn't do anything, which is just false. It's a false narrative. You know, he picked up the slack. He took a lot of tackles in place of Van Der Esch. 142 combined tackles. That's up there with the best. You know, I don't know what the numbers are for a lot of the other ones, but that's a high percentage, you know, and he got beat up all over the place because our defensive tackles that we keep talking about were getting washed out. And Jalen Smith, Sean Lee, these guys were getting beat up by these big guards. So it's going to be interesting to see how this defense looks, man. But I'm very confident in what they've done with the double cheeseburgers, Mike. I think that's gonna help Leighton Van Der Esch as well, where he's not gonna have to, you know, face so many of these offensive guards coming his way. He can roam around and do his thing. So I think that's gonna help out as well. And it was a good investment by the Cowboys. You know, you got to protect your linebackers. You know, if you're investing a lot of money in draft capital with a first round pick, a big contract with Jalen Smith, you know, you don't want to just put these guys out here to pasture and just get beat up every snap like they were. So
that's what it is.
Right, exactly. And I mean that, and that's what happened with LVE. You know, I mean you brought up Jalen Smith's numbers this past year, and that's a prime example of it. And you know, they brought in the double baconators and they drafted one. So I don't see, I mean, that, like you said, I mean, it's going to help our linebackers tremendously, Joe.
Absolutely.
Do you have anything else, Joe?
I think that's pretty much it, Mike. We covered a lot of great topics here. Keep everybody in tune with what's going on here with the latest news here. Obviously, we talked about Jerry Jones taking a peek here at our second year players. You know, let's refocus on, you know, it's important that your second year players contribute in year two. So we talked about that, and I think that we're in a good position to see some improvement, and we're in position to see who's going to fight for their roster spot, right, Mike?
Absolutely, Joe. And then we have competition. I don't think we've really had this much competition, I dare say, since like 2007. You know, I mean, there's a lot of competition here on this roster.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, because you know, when you're looking at some of these rosters that had more competition, it really means that you were doing good in free agency and the NFL draft. So Cowboys have done that, you know, and at some point there's going to be good players not making this team, you know. So this might be the first year where we see somebody that we might see a surprise cut, you know, maybe not a surprise to some, but we might see some surprise cuts, you know, because as much as people get attached to some of these names, we got to keep coming back to it. This is not Jason Garrett's team anymore. It's Mike McCarthy's team. And it seems like he has a pretty good rapport there with Jerry Jones, Will McClay. So roster moves will be made. We're not going to have the same people making the team year in and year out, you know, because of the competition.
Yeah. So, Joe, where can they find you at?
Yeah, you guys can find me on YouTube, obviously. That's where I do a big majority of my work, on YouTube, and that's Cowboys Blog. Just look me up there. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, CowboysBlogNet. All right, guys? So hit me up. I'll give you a follow back. Hit me up with a DM, and we can talk about some Cowboys football during this off season.
Yes, sir, guys. Make sure you follow Joe. Hit that notification bell. And I'm Dallas Cowboy Football News on YouTube and on Facebook. DCF News 1 on Twitter. Dallas Cowboy Football News on YouTube. So, guys, give me a follow. Give me a DM. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next Tuesday night. Again, thank you. And you can follow the Frisco Report at the Frisco Report on Twitter, or go to thefriscoreport.com. All right. You guys have a great Tuesday night. Thank you again for tuning in. Drop a comment. Let us know where you are. Give us a 5-star review. Until next Tuesday, peace.
Peace.